Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the only podcast that is going to compare the Logan Stankoven era to the Ryan Hartman era of Dallas Stars hockey. It's time to do a little stargazing. Mark, a real kick in the teeth this week, huh?
It's been kind of depressing. Yeah. The organization is not having its finest week.
Counterpoint, back to the good old days, question mark? We can hate the team again. We don't have to look for reasons.
There is some starzing to it, although we've become accustomed to being in the Stanley Cup conversation. So that was kind of nice too, wasn't it?
I mean, I think they're still in the conversation, right? As in, like, they're one of many teams in the league and they'll be, you know, participating for it. And they'll, you know, it's not like they're out of the playoff race, but.
Well, I don't know. I mean, is it the main goal of our talking today is kind of to come up with a list of the players that the team's going to sell at the trade deadline,
yeah.
Right?
That is, this is the seller's deadline podcast. That is completely true. It's not. We're going to talk a little bit. Obviously, the bit here, right, is that three tough losses this week for various reasons. We're going to talk about that, obviously. Going to touch on the top line. What's going on there? We're going to celebrate the start and then finish for now, obviously, for now, of the Logan Stankoven era in Dallas and just kind of get into the week that was. I think there are some things we can do, some conclusions we can draw, some things we can talk about. Anything on your list before we dive in, Mark?
Goal scoring, I think, is important.
Yeah, that is. It's that kind of hard-hitting analysis, fans and listeners, that you'll really appreciate for the rest of the podcast. Goals are important. You know what else is important? BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And Mark, we're going to start with a tough week. Three losses for the Dallas Stars. Boston in overtime. New York without need of extra hockey. And then last night in Ottawa, 4-1, just a bad week. What do you want to focus on? Where do you want to start with these three losses?
I think probably the first place to start is just taking a look at the injuries on the defensive side. And even, you know, Miro Heiskanen missing the game against Boston, becoming a new dad. Yay.
Congratulations to the to the Heiskanen crew.
Yep. So, you know, this is something that teams go through all the time. Dallas has been incredibly healthy over the last couple of years and is something that we just aren't all that used to, having players sitting out. The group that's been together and kind of roll. Your question is who's gonna come in as the 13th forward, not how do we replace two or three defenders all at once?
Yeah, and it's I remember reading that, you know, during the Boston game. Of course, Boston, we start with the news that Heiskanen and I out. We had already known heading into that game that Lundqvist and Hakanpää were both injured. Heiskanen, of course, joined them to celebrate the birth of his child, which is a fantastic way to go. And then I had to sneak that in so we didn't sound, you know, we're talking about the sports impact and we're going to talk about him missing the game, and just want to make sure that, like, the human element is covered. And, like, we're as a podcast, we're pretty cool with being there for the birth of children. That's an acceptable, we're going to count that as an excused absence. But Heiskanen out. And then, of course, during warmups, Matt Duchene was an unexpectedly late scratch. So, yeah, I think it was a counterpoint. I think Dallas had lost the fewest man games. They'd used the fewest players in the NHL heading into Monday's midday matinee against the Bruins. And just in that day with the guys they were missing, I think they fell back a couple of places. So it has been an unbelievable run of health for this crew. And all of a sudden it's not. And some of the things that we've been talking about are a lot more acute all of a sudden. Do you feel, Mark, that there's any kind of longer term, broader, like, was this week like a referendum on who the Stars are as a hockey team?
I don't think so. I mean, this is a couple of games, so not too bad. I think last podcast we did, I mentioned that, you know, Jim Neal usually doesn't leave. It's always you can never have enough defense. You can never have enough goaltending. And organizationally, I think it kind of came back to bite us a little bit. Boston, you had Alek Petrovic get his first NHL action in 5 years. Derek Pouliot got in and continues to be in. And these guys are kind of what you expect them to be. I thought that Pouliot especially looked okay. He was fitting in as a bit of an offensive defender up until Ottawa, and then Ottawa, you just slap in the face. Yeah, this is why he's been a borderline NHL guy for the last couple of years. Defensively, that's not something that you're going to depend on as you get into tight games.
You kind of saw the good and the bad, right? It's in a lot of ways, it reminded me of Joel Hanley, right? You saw that these were players who can help and who can play at the NHL level and who can fill a gap. But like your point, like you're saying, it's not if they were that consistent, if there weren't those lapses and you know, whatever, right, they wouldn't be flex options for a playoff bound Stars team, right? They'd be in a regular lineup. So I think you saw some of the good and the bad. There was, I think it was it Pouliot, I believe, there was a very nice scoring chance from the slot early in the Boston game. Showed really nice instincts to step up, just ripped one wide, but there was enough
Petrovic
there.
Yeah,
Petrovic, sorry, yes, Petrovic. Yeah, and it was, I mean, funny,
he's not an offensive defender, so you kind of get past that. I think one of the things maybe you saw was a little bit more of the, hey, this Joel Hanley is maybe just a smidge better than some of these AHL guys. Hanley, I thought, stepped up fairly well. He certainly brought some physical game that we hadn't seen before. He took a couple guys out. Had a fight with Brad Marchand. Who wouldn't want to do that?
I mean, who wouldn't take that trade off, right?
Yeah,
and
no,
it's
kidding.
It's, I think it reinforces Hanley's role and his spot in this roster, right? He is a guy that can step up, and he's a guy that can play a shift, and he's a guy that can, you know, contribute to this roster. Probably not indefinitely, right? I think that, you know, nothing that happened this week has dampened the enthusiasm for getting Hakanpää and Lundqvist back into the lineup. Nothing that happened this week has quieted the what's Jim Neal going to do at the trade deadline to fix the defense conversation. Like, nothing has solved that. But I do think you're right. Like, even to some degree, like on a scale of like 1 to 10, right? You know, a big part of the Boston game was Jeremy Swayman, even with all of the options they were missing, even with everything they were struggling with. You could argue that without, and he's an all-star, and you know, Boston has arguably the best tandem in the league, right? So it's not that he was doing something unusual or unexpected. But if Dallas doesn't run into that buzzsaw, they probably, you know, how they lost on an empty net goal to a guy that's not quite Austin Matthews right now, but a Pastrnak, one of the league's elite Capital E goal scorers, right? And almost won the game with all of that adversity. So it wasn't in a vacuum. The Boston game wasn't exactly disheartening, I would say.
No, I mean, you kind of had to go into that game thinking this was one that if they hang in there, that's a pretty good game. And they hung in there and played maybe one of their better games of the year. They put up, what, over 40 shots and high-quality scoring chances. And to tell you the truth, a little bit better angle on a shootout shot from Craig Smith, and all of a sudden we're going 15, 16 rounds deep in that shootout. So, you know, counting that as a loss when you go 9 deep, matinee game running really shorthanded, yeah, that's a pretty solid game. But it's kind of gone downhill since then. New York, the offense never quite came around. This morning I saw that Dallas was really good up at Ottawa until Yuri Hudler put one in the star zone net, and it's been downhill ever since.
Yeah, it's hard to not be discouraged, but it's also, like you said, you know, and Shesterkin in New York, he's got a reputation as being a pretty good goalie himself, right? He got the start in that match. I'm not crazy, right?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, for whatever reason, as I started to say that, I was like, wait, did he? But no, and there was I think it was the Sagan chance late, you know, the kind of sprawling in the crease save. There were goals left on the table in that game. And, you know, New York and Boston are presumably among the elite in the league. So a couple of, and it was a multi-goal to New York, but empty netters, right? But game situation, but a couple of narrow losses. And then, like you said, every now and then teams just stink. And after the week Dallas had, you would have liked for them to take it out on Ottawa. I certainly would have hoped so. And it's not a good thing that they didn't. But I think to the broader point, I wouldn't say don't worry so much as there's nothing new to worry about, right? We knew the stars were thin at defense. We knew that there was that they are, you know, let's call it inconsistent. They're very good most of the time offensively, but they are prone to getting goalied from time to time. And, you know, that's what we saw play out, right? All of a sudden they're dealing with some injuries, dealing with some adversity. Some of their lack of depth is, you know, in Boston, you know, their lack of depth, the offense can't get that one extra goal they need. And this is what happens. I did have one question, though, on the topic of the offense. You know, we have spent a lot of time this season justifiably talking about the impact of Matt Duchene and the Sagan line, and, oh boy, how amazing has that unit been. Meanwhile, Jason Robertson is sitting on 18 goals right now after 46 last season. And this is going to be really funny. Haha, conversation talking about a guy who is on a point per game clip right now. He's 56 and 58. So technically pushed, you know, technically not exactly a point per game, but more or less point per game pace. But again, because of previous expectations, a couple of back-to-back 40 goal seasons, is it time? And I know that DeBoer, for the first time earlier this season, started experimenting with, you know, Wyatt Johnson was up with the first line for a minute. Where are you at with Jason Robertson right now? Are we happy? Are we sad? Are we scared? Where are you on the emotional spectrum watching his production and performance this season?
I mean, I'm still pretty happy. The question that I have, there's obviously something that's degraded a bit with that top line. And the question then is, how do you best value Robertson, and how do you best value Hintz? And really, even at this point, how do you best value Joe Pavelski, who of course, against Ottawa was the lone goal scorer and got his 20th goal for the 14th time in his career. So this is a guy who's used to putting up good numbers. But you take a look at some of the goals that were given up this week, and a handful of them were were ones where a weak side winger's coming down and just has an extra step on Pavelski and ends up getting an open shot because of speed. And I think that's one of the issues, not only on the defensive end where it's pretty obvious in a situation like that, but also on the offensive end where the top line in the past has been able to get on the forecheck. Mm-hmm. And once they get the puck on the forecheck, then that mind meld situation goes where they all know where each other's going to be. And they just they weave and twist their way into getting open shots. And if you can't get the puck on the forecheck, you can never get into that situation. And I think that's the problem that the top lines had. And it's one of the reasons why I'm a pretty big proponent of seeing what we can do with Wyatt Johnston consistently being on that top line.
And I think that tracks, right? Because, you know, Pavelski does have 20 goals, so it's not like he's not contributing, but it's looking at it, it's a lot more when they can establish a cycle, right? Situations where his, you know, the attributes that he has, right? His intelligence, his positioning, his hand-eye coordination, right? Situations where that becomes the focus, like you still see Pavelski getting the puck in the neutral zone or the offensive zone and making a deft pass to spring one of his teammates. I think he put Henson with, you know, kind of one of those cross neutral zone sauces, beautiful pass, right? You still see him tipping pucks in, still see him working the wall, but I do think it's hurting that unit on the rush. They can't attack as quickly as they used to. And for somebody like Jason Robertson, who seems to thrive in the space that his line creates for him, when you really are down to just Roope Hintz being the space facilitator, it has, again, that's, I think it's not that the line is suddenly ineffective, but I think that's how you go from being a, you know, 109 point in 82 game player. You know, that's where those 20 points go. Right, is those rush chances, being able to force the other team, you know, on their back foot, odd man, those types of breaks. Whereas the production from kind of set plays and sustained possession, and when they can get going, you know, that production has been pretty consistent.
Yeah. And the interesting thing then is, okay, if that is the decision that you make, what happens to Joe Pavelski? Because he does have 20 goals. 9 of those are on the power play, but you need to find a spot in the lineup where he is going to be a net positive. And I know that the third line with Delandria and Ben has been okay. If Delandria was finishing, it would be way more than okay, because he's certainly had plenty of opportunities. But at that point, Ben and Pavelski together is a bit slow.
And I think that's where you get into the, you know, the Dallas roster. Like, I think you almost have to just deal with it, right? Because for better or worse, you don't want to, I don't know that you want to mess with the Deshane, Sagan, Marchment trio, because we do have some recent examples that separating Sagan and Marchment doesn't quite, it's the Tetris problem, right? So, okay, I think that in a vacuum, you know, we have seen Tyler Sagan succeed with Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz, right? There's no doubt in my mind that Matt Duchene could do that as well. I don't know that Mason Marchment is the type of player that would really thrive with that. I think he's more chaos oriented than finesse oriented. And I don't know that he would necessarily fit, but he'd certainly get him going on the forecheck, right? But the problem is, okay, so any of those three players would work, but then you have to replace their spot on the line. And, you know, and swapping Sagan for Pavelski, maybe you could get away with, but swapping, you know, Pavelski for Matt Duchene just kind of creates the same problem on a different line. And then moving down one, right, Wyatt Johnston, well, okay, Pavelski and Ben, you know, that the third member of that unit is a little bit kind of in the air anyways. And it gets into the situation where you could probably make a move to get more production out of Hintz and Robertson on that top unit, but does that move hurt you more down the roster than it helps you?
Yeah. And well, and it may turn out that that's okay for the regular season. And maybe you just have a situation where you aren't as deep as you thought you were going into the playoffs. And the playoffs are an area where you're going to potentially ride your top guys slightly more. And so that's fine. That's fine. If it turns out that Dallas can roll 2.5 lines instead of 3 lines, they're still real competitive. And if you bring in a top four defender, this is still a team that can challenge for the Stanley Cup. So, yeah, you know, adjustments can be made. Yeah, there's a couple months to see how those work out.
Adjustments can be made. And I also wonder, a part of me wonders if this is something that could also be fixed by way of the back line. One option is, you know, and again, this is taking roster construction completely out of the picture, but everything we're describing sure sounds an awful lot like Logan Stankoven or Maverick Bourque, right? So this is one of the areas I do think Dallas has some in-house stuff. Of course, you'd have to move some pieces to make that move and whatever, but I think if you wanted to go the forward for forward, like for like, update the line route, you can do, there's a clear path. I wonder, is part of this, like, how much better does the situation get when, whether it's Lundqvist coming back, whether it's a more judicious use of Harley and Haskinen, or whether it's a move in the market, if you can get a little bit more help moving the puck on the back line, does that perhaps take some of the burden off of Pavelski and put you, can you count for it that way, basically, is what I'm saying.
I mean, certainly if you can have a controlled zone entry as opposed to kind of the dump and chase that they've been pushed through, with the exception of maybe Thomas Harley, I think that helps, especially if you're looking at this and saying that the weakness is that the forecheck isn't getting on the puck soon enough. And so opposing defenses are clearing the puck without pressure.
And so, I think that's as well, the bit about Pavelski kind of not quite getting back. If you want to help, you know, there's kind of two ways, right? If you want to help a winger get back, it's the winger either has to start playing higher in the offensive zone, which can take them out of offensive rotations and hurt you that way, or you find a way to slow down the other team's transition game, right? You can't make Joe Pavelski faster, but if you can make the other team two or three strides slower, then all of the sudden his relative foot speed is less relevant. But to do that, you have to have somebody that can get on. You know, I think about the press in, you know, a big soccer guy, right? Think about the way the press works. And it's something like the 3 or 4 seconds immediately after a turnover is the best time to trigger another turnover. One way to take some of the defensive pressure off of Joe Pavelski is to get better at jumping on the puck in the offensive zone when it's turned over. And I think part of what you're saying is that's not exactly what the Robertson line is constructed to do.
Yeah, it's, you know, getting neutral zone pressure and turning things around. Dallas is pretty good at that. They're probably better at that than they are at the forecheck. And we get a lot of offense off of that, but it's, again, the team slides into being soft on the puck through the neutral zone if it breaks through the first line of forwards. And if the puck's getting into your defensive zone too easy, then you're going to be chasing the whole time. And Dallas has shown that they're not a very good team when they're chasing the puck, especially in the defensive
zone. Yeah, it takes them out. They just don't have the... It forces them, I think, to over-rely on Harley and Haskinen and can leave them... You kind of have to go to that pairing, which means that the other team is getting a, you know, Lindell Hakanpaa when he was healthy, a Suter Lundqvist. Like, they're getting a pairing they can feast on a little bit more.
Well, and it also hurts a little bit because one of the things that Dallas attempts to do to relieve the pressure in the defensive zone is cherry pick. And, you know, Marchment does this, Dellandrea does this. You've seen quite a bit of it. But if you cherry pick, and you don't get that release, then all of a sudden you're in a lot of trouble in your defensive zone.
Yeah, you're right. If you can't, it's also just not as it, on a play-by-play basis, that's true. But I think also, like, overall, right, if the cherry picking works because the other team is worried enough about you counterattacking that they leave a defender high, right? They cover it.
They can't pinch aggressively. There's all sorts of, you know, it's a playoff and it's a pressure move and it's chaos and you got to win the chaos.
But if you're not worried about the other team being able to do anything, either because they can't, you know, make the pass or the player can't score. Like, if they don't have to, like, the degree to which the other team has to worry about you scoring informs its effectiveness. So if I don't think that your defense can get control of the puck and hit the cherry picker, then I'm going to pinch just like always. And when I inevitably get the puck, all of a sudden I've got a 5-on-4, right? I've got a man advantage because you're too high. And I think we see that a little bit with certain pairings, because there are, you know, especially right now with the injuries they're dealing with, you can catch the Stars, and it doesn't even take a particularly genius moment of coaching brilliance, but you can catch this Stars team in lineups that are not going to be able to hit that pass and that are really going to struggle. It's coming up the boards. It's one of those chunk and chase outs. Like, you can get this team into defensive pairings that aren't going to scare you from a breakout perspective.
Right. I mean, you kind of resort to the high flip and hope you get a good bounce. Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's just not, that's not going, it will work from time to time, but as a coherent offensive strategy, if I'm coaching against the Dallas Stars, and I'm not worried about the high flip, I'm saying, you know what, guys, keep the pressure on the, you know, keep the forecheck going, keep the pressure on, keep pinching. We will probably get more 5-on-4s, right? We'll probably generate more scoring chances than we will give up with these high flips, especially, and not so much Ottawa, but when, you know, with the Rangers and the Bruins, especially if I'm a team that has good goaltending. If I've got if I've got Jeremy Swayman back there, if I've got Igor Shesterkin back there, I am more willing to take some of those chances. And honestly, it's the same logic with the Stars use, frankly, with Jake Oettinger, right? I am willing to, you know, I'm willing to risk that every now and then Ty Dillandre is going to get a breakaway, because I'm going to gamble that I will score more goals off of the possession I can sustain than I will concede with Dillandre, you know, receiving a breakaway and scoring. And I'm not just picking on Ty, right? That's everybody on the roster.
It's kind of a Stars position that we rotate guys through, because it was Matthias Janmark before. Yep. And with it, the Stars can always find a forward who can get breakaways, but we can't find one that will finish. The one thing I will find that I find interesting here, the Stars have, you know, defensive issues. This is where all the injuries are. This is where the call-ups are. How come now the Stars can't score goals? You take a look at Boston, you take a look at New York, you take a look at Ottawa. What was that? 5 goals in 3 games?
Yeah.
So if where the start of the conversation is that the defense is the problem and we need to fix the defense, then, you know, scoring under 2 goals a game is not going to win you a whole lot of stuff. And this team kind of thrives and wins or losses come because of the amount of goals they score, and the team isn't scoring.
No.
So and I think how do you bring those together?
I still Mark think it's the defense. I just still do. They've got right now, and against Boston, they didn't even have this, right? So I think part of it is, if we look in the short term, just this week, I think that part of it is you had a shorthanded Stars team playing against 2 elite goaltenders on back to backs, right? Like it does matter that the New York game was something like 30 hours after the Boston game. And it's a team that played a game without their best defenseman against Jeremy Swayman, who made, you know, almost 50 saves and good ones too, right? But they play that game, and then less than a day later, 30 hours later, they're on the ice against a guy who's maybe even better in net, right? And they're still generating chance. So I think part of it in the short term is situational, but I think that in the long term, what we are seeing is a little bit of natural regression. You know, Jamie Benn had a great season last year. There were a lot of power play goals. There was a high shooting percentage. A lot of things worked. I think we're seeing a little bit of regression out of Benn. I think we're seeing regression out of Pavelski that is hurting that top line. And I think that exacerbating that problem is the fact that right now, and for the bulk of the season, because Lundqvist has been good in stretches, has been benched in others, right? He's hardly someone you can count on, but this is a team that has 2 defensemen that can contribute to the offense in any kind of meaningful way, which means that the preponderance of the burden is on the forwards. And I think that's why you wind up in situations against particularly good teams, particularly teams with goaltending, when you need to manufacture an attack with 5 players, Dallas can't necessarily do that all the time, right? And I think that's why, that's how you wind up in some of these droughts, in these drought situations, because unfortunately, if you miss Miro for a game, that's half of your blue line in terms of real functional play driving possession, right? If you miss Matt Duchene, right? It's sort of, if one line, you know, this team works because they have three really good lines and one line that's not bad. Well, if Duchene is out, then that's down to two. You know, it just, there is a critical lack of depth in a couple of key places that can kneecap this team in certain situations.
I mean, counterpoint of those five goals that were scored in the last three games, three of them were by defenders.
Yeah, but it's not about the goals. I mean, it is about the goals, but it's about the chances. It's about, like, where are the Stars generating possession? Where are the Stars generating offense? And I think really what one of the things that hurts them is I think that they are not as good. They have struggled to exit the zone meaningfully in certain stretches with certain lineups.
Yeah. I mean, certainly something that needs to be rediscovered is how to get through the neutral zone into a place where Roope Hintz can utilize his speed. That's been sorely lacking and probably has a lot more to do with zone exits than it does with anything that's done in the offensive end. The Sagan, Marchment, Duchene line has their own way of doing things. I think a lot of that is related to how Duchene lets Sagan and Marchment do their thing.
Well, and I think as well, to your point about transitions, Duchene is a player who will get the, you're talking about getting the puck through the neutral zone. Sometimes it's a pass, but with that line, a lot of the times it's just Matt Duchene gets the puck through the neutral zone.
Yeah, he just mules it through. Yep. and actually mules it through into a place where he still maintains control and can be creative offensively and find his guys.
And it almost makes me think sometimes of the way, like, a half court offense in basketball, right? Matt Duchene handles getting the puck into the offensive zone. And at that point, you really start to see Tyler Seguin's kind of in tight creativity and Mason Marchment's kind of ability to get open and shoot, right? You see those three guys really start to click in that in zone situation. And that's what Duchene, I think, brings them is he can get them to the place where they are most effective. And I don't know. You'd think that Hintz would be able to do that more on the top line, but you're right. He's much more the guy that receives the puck coming out of the neutral zone than takes the puck through the neutral zone.
Yeah. And Robertson can do that, but Robertson doesn't have the speed that Duchene has. Pavelski again, doesn't have the speed. So there are reasons why each individual line has the strengths and weaknesses that they do. You know, I think Duchene's big advantage is that he not only mules it into the zone, but he draws an inordinate amount of attention because he's threatening himself as opposed to just getting it in the zone and being a distributor. You know, if you don't pay enough attention to Matt Duchene, once he gets the puck in the zone, he's going to make a move on his own and create a chance. He draws defenders to him, which opens up lanes for his line mate.
It's that opening up lanes. Think about each pairing. How do they open up lanes?
Yep. And really here, we haven't talked about the fourth line, which has probably been the best line over the last couple of weeks. So
They've been going. Let me ask you this, right? How much of that would you say is a product of the guys ahead of them being so good and kind of creating favorable matchups for the fourth line versus is this just one of those every now and then, you know, the grind line is like every now and then hockey teams just stumble on these down roster trios that have a ton of success. Is that what's happening? Or is it more a product of the guys in the top nine are so very good that the fourth line is just feeding on fatigue and scraps?
I think the fourth line knows what its role is. They have energy. They come out, they run hard, quick shifts and that's what their role is. And they're good at it. And it's been a while since we had a fourth line in Dallas that was that kind of bulldog type line, as opposed to one that was out there as a shutdown line.
Yeah.
I think some of it's personnel, some of it's just, you know, fourth lines need to decide that's what their game is and go for it. and they go for it and they do great at it.
Yeah, it's a good unit. It's a really good unit, and I like the way you characterize it, and I think that's been meaningful to this team is transitioning a shutdown line. I think eliminates it just, and this is being super pedantic and getting into the words,
it,
well, right?
But it puts you on toes as opposed to heels.
Yeah, because
the fourth line's role is to get you on your toes.
Yeah, and like think about like a shutdown line. Their job is to like stop things from happening. And to a certain degree, to be a shutdown line, you're like philosophically, you're conceding initiative, right? Yep. As a shutdown player, Mark, my job is to like to prevent you from doing what you want to do. But to do that, I'm kind of letting you you get to start, right? Because I have to stop. Whereas when I'm a bulldog, my job is just to run you out of the building, chase the puck, hit somebody, get a shot on net. Like it lets me put pressure on you in a different way. Because I'm not saying, okay, you're going to get the puck and then I'm going to stop you, right? It's no, you're not going to get the puck.
Yeah. Or if you have the puck, I'm going to take it away from you.
Yeah. And I know that that's an oversimplification, but I think that that's one of the biggest differences we've seen as Pete DeBoer's style has kind of taken root on this team. And I think they've really benefited from that. I think it's that line has been a bright spot. There have been other bright spots. This is one bad week doesn't ruin an entire season. So it's been a bright spot. Fun thing though, for the doom and gloomers out there, Dallas, they fall to 5-3-2 in their last 10. They've lost two in a row. They've gotten one out of their last 6 points. Well, Colorado is 4-4-2 over their last 10. And Winnipeg is 4-5-1. So technically, I think now Winnipeg is back into first place. If you look at points percentage, they're 6-7-6 and Dallas is 6-5-5. But in the grand scheme, Dallas picked a really good week to have a breakdown because everybody else is struggling. So the Central is still very much in play. They didn't do any meaningful harm to their long-term prospects. Vancouver's 4-5-1. Vegas is 5-5-0. The Oilers are on fire at 6-3. And we're like, nobody, just looking at the standings, nobody in the Western Conference has had a great last 10 games. So, the other positive is this is a pretty good time to mess around a little bit. Like, this is a pretty good time to be bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something that, beginning of the season, you kind of circled this couple weeks where it was going to be hard for Dallas. And it's turned out it's been hard for Dallas.
Hey, guess what? There's something. Yeah. The analysis was right.
Yeah, I'm not holding on to any of the negativity. There's a lot of reasons why this team hasn't necessarily lived up to what you would have hoped they would have lived up over the last couple of weeks, but they haven't lost ground and they're ultimately going to get some people back and potentially some reinforcements on the blue line as the trade deadline gets here. So yeah, that's my positive look.
I mean, and I think my positive look, because I agree that this is, my positive look is more of a wait and see, like the games that actually matter. And it's not going to be easy, right? Carolina is a very good team. New York, the Islanders have beaten them once already, but it's that back-to-back, the Islanders, then Colorado, then Winnipeg. And at the end of the day, this month will be defined on the Colorado-Winnipeg games. And really, pretty much anything could happen between now and then. And those are the two games that matter. So it's hardly time to panic. Even if they go, obviously if they go all of a sudden on a losing streak, they're now at 1, 2, 3, technically 4 losses in a row, although 2 of them were in extra time. They lost to Edmonton in overtime and Boston in a shootout. So two ties and 2 losses in their last 4 games. Obviously you don't want to see that number getting any higher, but again, everything looks a whole lot rosier if they get wins, home wins with they're away in Colorado, but if they get wins against the Avs and the Jets, then I think we're having a very different conversation about how this month has gone.
Yeah. And really at this point, it's getting prepared for the home stretch.
Yeah.
And so a couple weeks to get through here and then with fingers crossed, any good luck, we start seeing a Dallas Stars team that is the Dallas Stars team that's going to make the run through the playoffs. There's some tough games in there, but 3 weeks from now, we're going to be looking at a team that is on the verge of building the momentum to make a run. And I'm interested in how we're going to get there. I'm really maybe more interested in what that team's going to look like by the middle of March.
yeah, that's this to me. You're exactly right. Like, this is still a playoff team. This is still a team in the Stanley Cup conversation. This is more reason to be interested in the trade deadline. I think we have not learned anything new, but this has reinforced that for this team to win the cup, right, two things need to happen. They either need to continue to be the healthiest team in the NHL, or they need a little bit of help. And that was true going into the series of games we've seen, and it's even more true coming out.
Yep, and it's obviously, you know, this is Jim Neal time, and let's see what the stash does.
It's his time to shine, and he's done so in the past. There are certainly some guys out there to get. We'll see what the prices are. We'll see if we're happy. Anything else you want to get off your chest before we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, let's do it. Time for still some good hockey games. Maybe we'll continue to see the Dallas Stars playing good games against good teams, and cross your fingers they get their mojo back against bad teams.
Their mojo back, and honestly, I think I'm very interested. Obviously, the trade deadline is the easy one, but taking out the trade deadline, I am really interested. Hopefully, he's back soon. I checked before we got on the podcast. There's no real news. It looks like Lundqvist is out at least Saturday, but I'm interested to see how this roster looks with him back in it, because I think that might, not because he's amazing necessarily, but because his profile is different enough, I think we could see a jump elsewhere with having one more guy that can kind of contribute offensively in the lineup available, even if it's only for the 14 or 15 minutes night that PDB is willing to play him, it seems. But all this is to say, there's some work to be done, but don't lose heart, Stars fans. This team isn't suddenly garbage. Don't abandon ship. It's just, this is what cap hockey looks like. When you can weather a multi-week injury to your starting goaltender, a multi-week injury to your best defenseman, and still be at or near the top of your conference, your division, you're not doing too bad. All right, well, this has been Stargazing, presented by Bet Online. Mark, thank you as always for your insights and contributions. KT, for doing all the hard work making this into something coherent and worth listening to. Listeners, thank you. Please don't forget to download, to like us. We need the external validation oh so badly. Podcast over.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.